And we are now live.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Microphone.
Good afternoon, everybody. Start our November 1st meeting of our STIF Advisory Committee. What do we have in terms of quorum right now? Okay, so we're close enough. Maybe we should just start by having you take roll.
So the chair typically takes
roll. Okay, I'll do that. Phil Barnhart is not here. Hoover, Chambliss, Kelly Clark. I think Kelly's going to be late, I heard. I'm here. Alma.
Present.
Josh Kaczynski. See, yes. Susie Lacer. Don't see her. Ed Necker. Eugene Organ. Cosette Reese is here. David Reeser.
Here.
And Philip Shimhu. Okay. So, agenda review. So basically what we're going to do today is to hear presenters sort of fill in the blanks of, well, we've got some things in writing, but it's always nice to hear a more complete, thorough explanation of what's written. And that's going to be the purpose of what we do today. I think we'll have two major categories. We'll have the LTD presentations and then all of the rest. Is that Lane? Okay. So essentially those two sets of presentations. And I guess before we start that, I'll ask if there's any audience participation. Is there anything that anyone from the public would like to comment on or suggest or make any statements about? I'm not seeing anybody. Are you aware of anybody coming
up? No, I'm not. Sorry, I wanted to give just a second for anybody to raise their hand virtually. Sure. And I am not showing anyone indicating they would like to speak.
Okay. So I think we're ready for the initial project summaries. And is that you up to bat, Tom?
It'll be myself and John Allen.
Okay. And we've got printed materials here as well as what we'll be hearing. And it looks like we'll have a little slide presentation as well.
This is a presentation that
Camille?
Yes.
Sorry, really quick. I don't know if Josh and David can see the PowerPoint.
I'm just about to share the screen.
Okay.
Just
one second. Okay, great. Thank you.
I just have to move things around a little bit.
Thank you. I know we're asking a lot of you. I apologize that I'm not there.
No worries.
And Tom Schwetz, I think that was you speaking. You sounded very distant. So I'm not sure if you could get closer to a mic or whoever is.
Well, it was about turning the mic on, David.
Oh, there you go. I can hear you now.
So, and I don't know, do I ask for you to?
Yep, just cue me in when you want the slide moved.
So you can move to the next slide.
I think there's quite a few slides before we get right into LTDs. Okay. So we can really just kind of quick reminder about we're gonna learn about these projects today. And then if we can scroll down, maybe stop for just a second on the budget one. I don't think we are really going to talk about any of these today, but I did want them to be available to remind everybody that these will be what you use as you do prioritize projects. And then just wanted to let everyone know the budget numbers are in your packet on page 7. So if you are looking at the packet at the same time as they're talking, that can be a helpful page to look at.
Is it worth just Kate stopping here to relate that you're going to see project specific information about that add up to these things. It's just important to note that the budgets seem like a lot more than the STIF funding we're getting, but that's because it includes significant leverage of federal funds and other state funds, as well as local funds. So just important to look at that.
Camille, if you go forward one more page, that'll show kind of the whole encompassing formula. So you will see that there are I have a few questions out to ODOT right now. I just want to flag this for folks that we are still figuring out exactly what our carryover will be and how that's divided out between in-district and out-of-district. So I didn't provide that information today. We'll have it by your next meeting. But the main things, these numbers are really, the differences are really actually just showing the STIF fund. So there is a difference in the STIF funds, but we'll talk about that more as we get into the projects. But
right, though it's good context to note that at this point, the applications of LCOG and LTE add up to more money than we have. This isn't the first time this has happened. We will work to kind of get that all balanced before we come back to you next time.
Having done this twice, that's been our experience.
Yes.
I also understand there's a possibility that we may get more money than we anticipate, and therefore you'll be prepared for that.
Exactly. We're ready to go. Yeah. Good way to look at that. Next slide, please. So Lane Transit District is going to go through its applications, and I've got John Allen here with me to work through the details. And so, John, the first project is...
I'll be happy to talk us through Project A. So I'll be doing some brief descriptions of each task within Project A, and we'll absolutely invite any questions to clarify or get into more detail. One thing that's important to note for all of the tasks within Project A, these are all existing programs intended to benefit older adults and people with disabilities. And these are programs that we have previously funded as part of our 5310 and STF process. So in current and prior biennials, these have all been existing programs that were funded. And the legislator signaled their intent to roll STF-funded priorities into the STIF process in the upcoming biennium. So it'll be starting July 1st of the upcoming year. And so these programs are similarly being added into the STIF process for the first time in this upcoming biennium, but are not new programs to LTD. So the first task we have is for RideSource ADA paratransit service and our shopper shuttle. Folks, I'm sure, are familiar with RideSource as a service, but this very specifically is referring to our complimentary paratransit, which is a service that is a requirement through federal regulation to provide within a 3/4 mile boundary of anywhere that our fixed route buses go, a service for people with disabilities who are otherwise unable to access our bus system. RideSource is much more of that. It's an umbrella term that covers our call center, Medicaid transportation, many other programs, some of which I'll be describing today. But I want to notice that this task very specifically is for that ADA paratransit service, which we offer to individuals who are unable to access our fixed route bus route due to a disability. In addition, that includes our shopper shuttle, which would ordinarily be a service that people would access through ADA paratransit, but we choose to offer in addition as a shopping excursion, typically for older adults who go on social outings to neighborhood markets to be able to pick up groceries or other goods that they might need, along with other folks often out doing the same. What makes that a little bit different from our typical paratransit is that it's intended as a social excursion, so people are able to go with their friends or like-minded individuals. They're able to get additional assistance from their driver. So that can be bringing their groceries or their belongings, and understanding that people are going to be carrying a bit more than they ordinarily would or be allowed on, say, a normal ADA paratransit or bus trip. These are advantageous to everyone because oftentimes these would be scheduled as single one-off trips through our RideSource service, and instead we can do a larger shared ride. So we're able to make those more efficient. And similarly, we're able to incentivize those for the general public as we offer them at a cheaper fare than we would for ADA paratransit trips. So that winds up being well received by the general public, and we look to continue that program. The next task we have is for preventive maintenance for our specialized services fleet. We have a large fleet of vehicles that includes not only our ride source vehicle fleet, but also vehicles that support many of our programs, such as the Diamond Express in Oak Ridge, the Roadie Express in Florence. We offer significant services within the Cottage Grove area and elsewhere. And this is the routine preventive maintenance required to keep these vehicles on the road. It can be everything from oil changes, tire rotations, the general types of wear and tear that we need to keep these vehicles operational and the costs associated with that. We typically have over 70 vehicles in total in our specialized service side of the fleet. The next task we have is volunteer mileage reimbursement. These are volunteers that we contract with through senior. Yes, there's a question.
So, John, I'm just wondering if we should, are you wanting us to provide comments now, or would you rather go through the entire list and then go back and ask questions?
You might. You tell me what might sound better, but I think at least on every
slide, an overview
or on every slide that you have questions, you should ask them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'd like to just take one step back on the first one. Sorry to slow the process down, but what my question is on the RideSource ADA paratransit and shopper shuttle, if this is not funded through STIF, this program not exist in the next 2 years?
So providing ADA paratransit is a federal requirement. So we are not allowed to not do it and still have a fixed route bus system that receives federal funding. So we would need to find a way to be able to make that happen. However, that would be extremely challenging without being able to find a way to fund it using grant funds as we have historically. So we would need to be able to find some kind of means to be able to operate that. Not being able to have ADA paratransit is frankly not an option for
us. I understand. Okay, thanks. That's what I wanted to know. We'd have to do this. We have to find the funds somewhere if it doesn't come from here.
Exactly right.
Thanks.
Great question. So the task three is our volunteer mileage reimbursement. And this is a project that we collaborate, and you'll see that many of our programs are community collaborations. And so in this case, we work directly with Senior and Disability Services to find volunteers who are willing to provide trips in rural areas in which public transit does not serve. And so these are folks who are willing to drive out in these areas and provide transportation to people in need that are identified through Senior and Disability Services. And in return, we provide administrative and gas mileage reimbursement. So that's essentially for volunteers willing to provide the transportation. They're looking just to be made whole for the costs of refilling their gas tank to provide that. And so we've seen that as a widely successful project to be able to ensure that folks that live in outlying areas can still access services in the local area.
So, John?
Yes.
Senior Disabled Services is a program at ELCON.
Correct? That's correct. Senior and Disability Services is a function through ELCOG. So that's been a longstanding partnership that we've enjoyed. And if you wouldn't mind advancing to the next slide.
Well, can we just take a pause there? Want to ask, I can't even see the folks on the screen. So does anybody have any questions you'd like to ask on that particular one?
We do have Josh Kaczynski.
Okay. Josh, did you want to ask a question?
I did. And sorry to break up the flow again, but I think this goes to the next several slides as well. I notice in the breakdown in the packet, there is a federal amount associated with the STIF funds. Are these cases, both for this one and the future, where we're using STIF money to leverage additional dollars from the federal government?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. So yes, absolutely. For many of these programs, what we're doing is we're using these STIF funds, or historically STF funds, to be able to leverage against what are known as federal 5310 or section 5310 funds, which have a match requirement. And so by using funds such as STF in the past or STIF, what we're looking for and recommending to be using in the future, that allows us to essentially turn federal dollars into even more funds, or leverage these funds to be able to do more with less. So it does fulfill a match requirement. And that with federal funds, we have to look for a local or state match, and the STIF funds meet that criteria as far as being able to match against federal 5310 funds.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you, Josh. Any other questions?
Vidal has a question as well.
Okay, please.
Yes, this is hopefully this is an easy one. This is better for my understanding. Task number three, the volunteer mileage reimbursement, is that administered through the senior services? Did I understand that correctly?
That's correct. So Senior Disability Services works directly through our ride source team to be able to schedule and dispatch trips and reimburse for gas mileage for any trips that are scheduled.
Okay, great, great. So that would mean that those individuals will be qualified through them to be able to go through this particular program. Okay.
That's Thank exactly you. Right.
Good question.
Okay, just to add to the disjointedness of the meeting, I see that when I was calling roll, I stopped at Philip, but I did not call Vidal's name or Caitlin's name or Pete's name. And I know that Pete's here and I know that Vidal's here. Caitlin, are you here? Okay, so I'm going to...
Yep, I've been here since the beginning.
Okay, sorry I didn't ask the first time around. And has anybody else joined us since I call roll? Did I see Susie on the screen or...
Kelly has joined us.
Kelly has joined us, okay.
Hi, okay. I'm Kelly Clark with the Lane Council of Governments.
Great, thank you. Okay, so we're going to go ahead. Thank you, John, for tolerating all these interruptions.
No, of course, and everyone's had great questions so far. Much appreciated. If you wouldn't mind advancing to the next slide.
Yes.
Thanks. So the next task we have is for behavioral health transportation, and we partner for these trips with Whitebird Clinic. And these are particularly to provide transportation for individuals who may not be able to ride on a shared ride trip due to the nature of their disability, but we're assisting them to be able to get to, say, counseling appointments or to receive behavioral health treatment. And so we fund these separately for trips that are typically need to be through a private single ride provider just due to the nature of someone's disability. The next task that we have is called Crucial Connections. And these are trips in which we partner with Senior and Disability Services once again to be able to identify needs of individuals that may not be served by any other program that we offer. These have we found to be especially important during exigent or unexpected needs, such as during the pandemic or during wildfires, when we may not have an existing program set up, but do have important and critical needs to be able to serve individuals. And so these are typically through referral through Senior Disability Services to assist somebody with a one-time exigent and urgent need to be able to receive transportation to be able to assist in those cases. The next task we have on this slide is transportation for veterans. And so this can include trips to VA appointments and clinics to be able to receive medical care for veterans that don't qualify or are not eligible for other programs, but do have important needs that need to be met due to a disability or need to travel to locations that aren't otherwise served by public transit.
Any questions from anybody on the committee? Okay, John, keep on rolling.
Great, if you would mind advancing the slide. Thank you. The next task that we have is preschool transportation. And this we partner with the Pearl Buck Center here locally, a nonprofit to be able to provide transportation, not necessarily to people with disabilities, but to the children of people with disabilities to be able to get them to attend preschool. And significant studies have shown that by bringing these children in for preschool education, they're able to maintain parity with their peers throughout their whole lives. Whereas otherwise, we're looking at having to provide advanced and more expensive education options. So this is just ensuring that these children are able to attend preschool education to be able to maintain that same kind of parity amongst their peers. And in particular, it's for folks who we have identified that the parents require some support with the transportation due to a disability. The next task that we have is for South Lane operations. And these in particular are trips that are provided within approximately the Creswell, Cottage Grove, and south to the county line area for folks who otherwise wouldn't have access to transportation to connect to services, whether it's in the Cottage Grove or in the metropolitan area. So those have included trips in rural areas to bring people into the Eugene metro area. It's included trips to be able to bring people into the Cottage Grove area, whether that's to receive medical care or grocery shopping or other important trips to be able to provide to that community.
So John, in yes. that case, do the riders have to live within a certain distance of a route, or will this vehicle go anywhere rurally to pick someone up to bring them into a community?
There is a historical geographical boundary that's been associated with this service. And we've actually heard from the city of Cottage Grove to provide some assistance with additional assistance with providing these trips. And so both LCOG and LTD have been in conversation to ensure that folks that have historically had access to transportation can continue to be provided trips. And so this program is essentially a request to be able to continue services as they've historically been known throughout the South Lane area. We do have a polygon that shows kind of what's in and out of that area currently, but we're not recommending any changes to that for the upcoming biennium.
Thanks. Any other questions from any other committee members? Okay.
Bear with me one second. My screen just disappeared. I'm going to stop share and reshare. Bear with me here.
No problem.
We're not seeing any hands at this point on the screen here. So go ahead, John. And if somebody has another question, we'll catch up and go back.
I don't mind talking us through the next task, Camille, while you're working on the PowerPoint. The next task we've got is travel training. And in for this particular project, we form a partnership with a local nonprofit known as Alternative Work Concepts. And so this is to be able to provide travel training services, mobility management, to individuals with disabilities and people who may have even never ridden on a bus before, who need to learn how to pay fare, how to let the operator know where to get off the bus, how to be able to transfer between buses, all of the life skills that are necessary to be able to ride public transportation. And for many individuals with disabilities, this can make the difference between being able to travel independently on our fixed route bus system and being able to have trips scheduled through RideSource. And so it gives people the freedom to be able to travel more places more often through travel training. This winds up also being advantageous for LTD because we're able to get more people to travel independently using a lower cost to the community fixed route bus system rather than a more expensive ride source scheduled service. So we find that that's both beneficial to people with disabilities and beneficial to LTD. And it's been a longstanding partnership that we've had with Alternative Work Concepts to provide these services on request and free of charge to people who request that in our community. Are we able to advance to the next slide?
Yes, we can.
Lovely, thank you. So the next program is also through partnership with Alternative Work Concepts, which is our transit host program. So even with travel training, one of the challenges that many individuals can face is when coming to a busy transit location, such as our Eugene station downtown, it can be a very stimuli heavy, busy location with lots of sounds, people, different buses coming in and out, and it can be very challenging to be able to transfer from one bus to another. So with our transit host program, we actually station folks at our Eugene station who are able to assist with scheduled transfers, people who are otherwise able to independently travel on our fixed route bus system, but just need a little bit of help getting from one bus to another at Eugene station. So they're able to make a warm handoff between one bus and another, and also just make sure that people are getting where they need to go, and also can assist with any general questions that people might have when they're coming through Eugene station. And for many people, this makes the difference between being able to travel fixed route and riding RideSource, which adds independence for people with disabilities.
So John, how does a rider know who is the host when they arrive at the station? How are they able to identify this host who might help them?
That's a good question. So I'll note that actually any LTD employee is able to help any individual in need at Eugene Station, but we have our transit hosts wearing vests that can easily identify them. And they'll typically be waiting at the bay where a scheduled transfer is taking place. So if someone's going back and forth to work every day, we know that John's showing up at 8 o'clock every morning and someone will be waiting for John right there on the platform, able to assist and make sure that he gets on the bus that he needs. So it's typically not only a warm handoff, but something that's incorporated into our travel training so that both the rider and our transit hosts are well aware of what needs to take place and just making sure that people are traveling safely and have everything they need and are able to make their transfer point.
So a visually impaired person would connect with the person with the vest by some kind of a prearranged, okay.
Absolutely. So typically these types of transfers are both scheduled and the transit host will be waiting there able to greet someone. So they'll be there at the platform saying, John, good to have you back on our buses again. And they'll be able to take me right to the next bus that I need.
Thank you.
The next task that we have are transportation eligibility assessments, which is a partnership we actually do with three of our different community groups. One, Senior Disability Services through LCOG, another White Bird Clinic, and the third, Alternative Work Concepts. All three groups partner with LTD to be able to help make determinations on eligibility for RideSource. So when someone calls RideSource, first thing we do is we want to make sure folks know there's many different programs that you're hearing about today that we have to offer. What can we offer that's going to be the best fit? And just raise awareness and education of the different services that are available for people with disabilities. And so we work with so many different community groups to be able to provide assessments because each group has their own specialty and expertise that they're able to offer. So if someone has, say, a behavioral health disability, we're able to have them partner with someone directly at White Bird Clinic to make sure that they have everything they need, perhaps work with them for the behavioral health trips that we have in another project. If somebody has, say, a developmental disability, we can partner them directly with Alternative Work Concepts with folks that have been doing that work for many years and know all the local resources to be able to make sure that they're able to travel effectively. So this establishes eligibility and is also a requirement for us to be able to offer our complimentary paratransit service, where we're essentially able to determine the eligibility for individuals that come to us requesting paratransit service. The next task we have is our Florence Roadie Express. And this is a fixed route service that we offer in the city of Florence. And this is the match portion where the prior projects typically are matching against what are known as federal $5310. This is a little bit different in that it's matching against federal 5311 or rural funds. So particularly for communities outside of our metropolitan area. And so this is a fixed route service that's offered hourly in the city of Florence, which is a route around town that goes between the Fred Meyer on the north side of 101 down to Old Town within the city of Florence and connects with existing services such as the Florence Eugene and Florence Yahats Link Lane services. There's no questions. We can move to the next slide. We also have our Diamond Express service that connects the city of Oak Ridge with the metropolitan area. And so I'll note that this is a 5311F funded program, which has been rolled into the STIF discretionary program. And so this is the match portion of that. So even though it is a STIF discretionary program, it still has that federal funding requirement that requires match, which we would look to STIF formula to be able to provide. And so these are taking folks from Oak Ridge into the metropolitan area to connect through both our Eugene station and Amtrak with limited stops in between. So we currently have three stops per day on weekdays for the Diamond Express service. We also have a separate task listed for contingency funds, and these are to cover any unanticipated or unexpected costs. As we go into the upcoming biennium, we'll be doing many of our contract renewals for the partnerships that we have in place. And so as we go through that process, we need to reevaluate any unanticipated or rising costs, whether due to inflation or other needs, any unexpected costs could be covered through our contingency project. And I believe that's the sum of Project A, if there were any other questions about any of those tasks.
Well, one question that I have is, I was wondering about bike share. I don't think I saw bike share listed in any of those. And I'm wondering if that was a consideration or if it falls under some other category or something.
That's a great question. And one thing I'll note is that all of the programs in Project A have been ones that have been historically funded using the STF and 5310 existing programs. This truly is a continuation of essentially exactly the programs that we had within this project in prior biennium. So we took that and carried it over, moved it from the STF 5310 directly into the STIF, and that's as we've presented it here.
So ODOT merged the two programs, basically, okay, that they were administering. With respect to bike share, so ODOT does not allow bike share, is not eligible for STIF funds.
Okay.
We had talked about that. Again, as you probably know, we're supportive of bike share, but not through this.
The rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules.
Okay, I understand. Okay, who's going to... Are there any other questions on Project A tasks? Josh.
Yeah, I had two questions. One I think was answered already, but I just want to clarify that everything that was previously funded from STF 5310 has carried over and we're not dropping anything out. And then the second question was about the contingency. It's about 10% of the total project amount. Is that typical?
I can answer the first question, which is yes. All programs which were previously in place through the STF and Section 5310 funds are presented in Project A here. So we're not looking to make any major changes in the types of programs that are being offered, and we're looking to continue existing services as we've known them.
With respect to the second question, we've done this for each of the projects this year, or this cycle, I should say. ODOT has asked us to add an additional 20% to basically the bottom line. And so the way we've done that is to stick some of that in each of the major projects just as a contingency. It remains somewhat flexible. So if we don't use this contingency in specialized services, but there's a need in fixed route service or buying vehicles or whatever it is, we have the ability to move those things around through ODOT's process.
And Tom, is it also the case that these monies would carry forward if they're not all spent? Do I understand
that
correctly?
That's true. In fact, part of the reason why the budget is as big as it is because we're incorporating some expected carryover.
Okay. Josh, did you have other questions?
That was it. Thank you.
Anyone else? I don't see any other hands. Are we ready for Project B?
We are.
All right. Well, I can speak to a portion of Project B as well, including the first task, which is the Cottage Grove and Creswell ADA paratransit extension. So with the addition of fixed route service, which is Tom will speak to here shortly, we're believing that that's reaching a point where we're going to meet the mandatory paratransit requirement for the Cottage Grove area. So that's that 3/4 mile boundary from where our fixed route service goes currently within Cottage Grove. So we previously have not offered our ride source service in Cottage Grove, and so we're looking to incorporate that. And that would include folks within that paratransit boundary, that 3/4 mile boundary, to be able to call the same ride source call center that we do in the metropolitan area to provide those same ADA paratransit style trips.
So then to pick up on what John was referring to under fixed route service increases, one of the things that we're looking at is increasing service on the Route 98 that serves Cottage Grove to a level that is no longer at the commute level service. And I see you shaking your head, Mike. You recall as a board member that that's one of the I think breakpoints for when we have to have ADA paratransit service. So that's part of the ad, but you can see here we're adding 3.5 million in the first year of the cycle, FY24, and FY25, 6.5 million. The reason for the difference there is that we're still managing the uncertainties around hiring drivers and all. We expect to be able to meet that need, but probably would be more difficult to add 6.5 million in the first year. So that's how that why that looks the way it does. And you want to talk about the shopper service?
Absolutely. So we're also proposing an expansion to our shopper shuttle offered through RideSource. And as I previously mentioned, this is an efficiency that we're able to implement where we're able to group more trips on a shared ride service. that there were that we're otherwise already going to need to perform through our ADA paratransit. So we can offer those more efficiently and at better benefit to the rider by offering some support with carrying bags onto the bus, making sure that people have an opportunity for a social outing with like-minded individuals. So what we're proposing currently in any neighborhood in our service area, we're offering once a week an opportunity to provide a shopping trip to be able to increase that to twice a week. And this service has proven to be very popular with members of the public. As we see this as beneficial to both LTD and the community, we see no reason but to look to expand.
Next slide. So the Cottage Grove Connector service expansion, I think some of you might be familiar with the fact that we had a pilot looking at service in Cottage Grove operating on a mobility on demand style of service. With this coming stiff cycle, we're looking to basically take that out of pilot mode and actually expand the service. Has been very successful. And you can see there we're spending about $350,000 a year for that. The mobility on demand pilot, we are looking at, again, some of you are familiar with the fact that we are in the middle of developing a mobility management strategy. Actually, that was that's being funded out of the stiff money this year or this cycle. That's going to help us determine where we might look next in terms of deploying a pilot. We haven't figured this out yet, but I'll say, you know, we're looking in the metro area where we might be able to utilize a system like this. We're also looking at other parts of the system. And I think we're going to come up with a number of ideas and go through a process to figure out what might work best as a pilot. And then, again, as with the other projects, the contingency for this task, because it includes so much service, is $2.3 million.
So are there any questions from the committee on Project B? Kelly?
Hi, yeah, thanks. I just had a question about the Task 5 Mobility on Demand pilot. There's no budget request for the fiscal year 24. Was that, do you have funding already for that year?
Yeah, it was intentional. We wanted to make sure we're done with the mobility management strategy, apply that, and then deploy in FY25.
Thanks.
Okay, are we ready for C?
Let's go.
Okay, let's do that.
So I can speak to the trip planning mobile app, and the intention of this is to have an integrated trip planner and licensing in a scalable way so that we can partner with the community to be able to provide a one-stop shop for trip planning needs. That includes multimodal transportation. So if one person was to say needed to bike part of the way, get on our fixed-route bus system, find a place to park, our intention is to be able to partner with, say, City of Eugene and University of Oregon to be able to provide one solution with a way that we can both be scalable to bring additional partners in so that all trip planning can happen through essentially one mobile app that we can use through our phone or computer. The continuation of this is intended to also include the option and budget to include a mobile wallet to be able to similarly pay for all of these portions of trips using one application.
And then I'll speak to the next two. The K through 12 student pass program has been successful in the past cycle, and we want to continue that. And again, if you're not familiar with that, it provides a student pass, free pass for LTD service for children in K through 12. For the entire county. So even though we don't operate service outside of our district, if folks are in town, they could access any of our services that way. It's, as you might imagine, most heavily used by the metro area school districts, obviously with 4J as the biggest district having the most used, but it's a well-used program. The next task, the low income fair program, again, that's a continuation of a process that we've had for the, I think it was the first two cycles. And that provides a resource to that we partner with social service agencies in town. They put a little bit in, and we put, I think, 75%.
That's correct.
Then those passes are distributed to low-income folks in the community for use on our service. I don't know, John, if you had other things to add there, but.
No, I think that's a good summary, that it's important to LTD to provide options that are going to be available for public transit for our low-income community members. And so being able to subsidize fare through not-for-profit programs, we found, is the most effective way to be able to do that. The next task we have in this project is our integrated fare validation program. And this is to be able to include fare validation on all of our services. And so that can include on our fixed route bus systems. Folks may be familiar with the tap card system that we have on there, but we further want to make sure that that can be included on, say, all of our ride source services, Link Lane or Diamond Express and Roadie Express buses, so that essentially we can have an integrated fare solution. We're also looking to look into advanced technology options where you can tap, say, a debit card onto a validator to be able to pay for fare. So we're exploring new technologies as they're made available to integrate into our fare validation process.
Josh, did you have a question?
I did. Going back to the student pass program, are the funds identified here just to reimburse the cost of the passes, or is there space in this task to assist the school districts in distributing those passes? I've heard from members in school districts that the passes are available, but actually getting them to the students represents a major staffing challenge.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Josh. We're actually, we had a conversation with some of the school districts around this issue about how best to provide that resource. And I think we're still working through how to do that, but STIF could be an eligible source. So that's kind of where that's at. But we want to figure out how to solve it. Obviously, we want to have these passes provided to as many students and as possible, and without it being a real burden to the schools.
Okay, I think we're ready to move forward.
You know, I'd like to just make one comment on that.
Go right ahead.
On that last comment, you know, part of the process too is also introducing these younger folks to be, if you will, lifelong users of our system. They get used to it, understand it right now. Obviously, they're going to get cars, move on and so forth, but they're going to know that option's always available and they're familiar with it, and that will help us with some of the ridership there too as well.
Yeah, thanks, Fidal. That's actually one of the origin stories for the student pass in the first place, was trying to create that kind of a new generation of lifelong transit users. So thanks for bringing that up. I think we want to go to the next slide.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, let's keep going.
So STIF administration, we have the ability to reimburse for the cost of administering the STIF funds. We've broken it out into two tasks here. The in-district sustainable service reserve. And this is to basically, this amount was derived from looking at how much service we're planning to add. So you might recall the $10 million dollars in fixed route service over the plan period, and the amount is related to LTD's formal sustainable service reserve amount. So we put that amount, or we put the prescribed amount in the policy, into our budget every year as part of our fixed route services generally. This is the incremental addition of the service that would be added through STIP funds. Anything, Christina? No, I'm correct.
Yeah, it doesn't include reserve for the STI portion.
Oh, that's a good point. So
it only includes the for your in district and out of district.
Right.
But this one in district.
This is just in district. So, and then the other amount is the STIF administration, and that's an amount that we've honed in at after a couple of years or a couple of cycles of what it takes, and this is what allows us to both administer the program internally, but also bring on the help of LCOG staff in managing this group and some of the other things they do for us for the program.
Any questions, comments on Project D? Okay, let's go to Project E.
All right, I'm happy to speak to our vehicle replacements. So these are, and just to maybe forecast a little bit ahead, I'm going to be speaking to everyone shortly about some proposed service expansions. So many of the projects that we've spoken of up to this point have just been continuations of existing services. But Project E is going to be a combination of replacement and expansion vehicles. And so these are the vehicles that we need to be able to continue operations as we've known them, as well as to support additional projects, which I'll speak to here shortly. Generally for our cutaway vehicles, which support our specialized services fleet, they have an estimated useful service life of about 7 years. We try and get a little bit more time out of them if we can. And for our 40-foot fixed route fleet, generally about 12 years. And so we need to periodically make sure that we're budgeting enough for vehicles to replace those that are aging out of our fleet as they're become far more expensive to be able to maintain and repair as they get older, to be able to support existing services. And then for new programs or new services that we'll be proposing, we need vehicles to be able to support those above and beyond our existing vehicle fleet. So those are all represented here. We, as I had mentioned, we're requesting an expansion of our RideSource shopper service from 1 day a week to 2 days a week being offered for each neighborhood. And we're gonna need an additional vehicle to be able to support that. So that's listed here. We also have replacement vehicles in our fixed route vehicle fleet. We also have a replacement vehicle shown for our Diamond Express service. So that's from Oak Ridge to our metropolitan area. And then replacement cutaways for our specialized services fleet. Generally, either vehicles that are used in RideSource or in areas such as Cottage Grove or Florence.
John, that was task four, correct?
Yes, task four is the specialized services fleet vehicle replacements.
Just the slides.
Yes, if you don't mind advancing one more slide there. One other thing I'll note is that we have some of these vehicles are shown in more than one project. And the reason being, we have some services that serve both in and out of district areas. So the Diamond Express being a really good example of a vehicle that both serves out of district while it's in Oak Ridge and then comes into our metropolitan area to be able to drop people off, say at Eugene Station or Amtrak Station. So to be able to best reflect that for the in and out of district, we have that shown as two different projects with essentially one vehicle being split between those costs to reflect the in and out of district nature of it.
And then the project contingency is intended to cover unexpected cost increases. And we've seen a lot of that in our vehicle purchases lately. In fact, I would add there, you talked about the carryover from last time. Some of what we have here in the rolling stock project is carryover. We may get some of these buses by the end of this fiscal year, but if we don't, we've planned for making sure we can pay for them in a second.
Absolutely. And as anyone who's tried to purchase a vehicle throughout the pandemic is aware that both supply chain issues and costs have been increasing. And so we're doing our best to estimate for those contingencies.
Any questions on Project E? Okay, let's keep going. Project F.
These are the out-of-district portions of those same vehicles. So these are actually not separate vehicles. These are the out-of-district portion of those existing vehicles that were shown in Project E. Let me clarify, actually, the Diamond Express vehicle is split between those portions. Rhodey Express is considered to be completely out of district and is fully represented in this project.
Thanks. Any questions about Project F? Okay, let's go to Project G.
All right, I can speak to Project G, which are the expansion services that we're recommending. We actually had these programmed in the current biennium and put those on hiatus throughout the pandemic as the timing wasn't right to be expanding services at a time when we were looking to scale back to match our pandemic-related needs. So within those, we continue to recommend an expansion to the Rhodey Express service, which currently offers a 1 hour loop, and we're looking to split that into two 30-minute loops, hence the need for an additional vehicle, as well as additional operational funds to be able to support that service. The Diamond Express fourth trip pilot project is the idea to include a fourth afternoon trip to provide additional options so that folks that are coming from Oak Ridge to Eugene area or vice versa have additional flexibility to do a half day trip rather than a more full day as is currently allowed in the three trips that we're doing per day. And then finally, a Saturday service pilot project for the Diamond Express, which would be the first time that we would offer a weekend trip. And in particular, this would appeal to individuals who may want to go to Oak Ridge for recreation. It's known for world-class mountain biking, as well as folks who are interlining their trips through Amtrak. So you can currently buy or purchase a trip through Amtrak from anywhere in the country to go all the way to Oak Ridge by using our Diamond Express service and transferring at the Amtrak station in Eugene. And so folks can be able to make use of that, recreate in Oak Ridge area for a day and then come back on a Saturday. And so we would be very interested to see what ridership would look like to expand in a weekend service. And it's something that we've had requested through the city of Oak Ridge to try.
Okay, I think we have contingency down pat by now.
Yeah.
So let's go to Project H.
So the out of district reserve is its own project because it's out of district funds, but it's the same principle as the reserve funds that we talked about with our fixed route service. That 6,000 represents a portion per our policy for reserves.
Any questions? Okay, are we shifting to LCOG or are Tom and John going to continue with this?
I think we're going to LCOG.
Okay.
Thanks everyone for the great questions and feedback.
Thanks. So we have a presenter from LCOG that will start.
Hi, this is Kelly. I'm here to present on the LCOG projects.
Thanks, Kelly.
Absolutely. We have two projects here. The first one I'll cover here is our Florence to Yahats connector. And one thing I want to note on this slide here is that we're asking for funding for operations only, and it does not include funding for a replacement bus. We did buy a replacement bus through the current biennium's funding that we're just getting into service now. So that's been exciting to have one delivered. It's a success story for the bus world. The Florence to Yahats connector does run Monday through Saturday. Four runs per day with one stop at the Carl G. Washburn Memorial State Park between the communities of Florence and Yahats. It runs along Highway 101. We consider it a success. We're seeing riders increased ridership with a lot of different reasons for using the route. Travelers visiting along the coast, residents traveling between Yahats and Florence, workers coming into Florence for work. We're also seeing a lot of backpackers and bicyclists seeking a different option along the stretch of highway that isn't the most comfortable for walking and biking. And so they use the bus for this portion of Highway 101. We, like I mentioned, we're seeing that increase of ridership over past seasons when we can do comparisons. And we do have an interline agreement for this route along with our other route with Amtrak. And so we're able to connect in, as John had mentioned, with routes beyond these two. And people are able to buy a purchase a ticket online for this route and connect with other interlining routes. The fare one way is $2.50. And our funding has included costs to increase service to Sundays. So we're hoping what 7-day service we'll see just better providing access for travelers and visitors along Highway 101. This funding ask here is intended to serve as match for discretionary funding that we'll apply for the state STIF funding as well.
Great. Any questions about the Florence to Yahats connector or the contingency from the committee? Great.
Josh has a question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did see that. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm curious if the discretionary money, if we're not funded through discretionary, is there still going to be some level of service or improved service, or does the project not work without that additional funding?
The project doesn't work.
Okay.
We're at that level.
Okay, go ahead. Are you on the next one, Kelly?
Certainly, yep. I'm ready to talk about our second project here, which is the Eugene to Florence connector. On the next slide. Oh, I'm sorry, here's a map. I apologize, I forgot this slide was in here. Just showing where our route is and how it connects in with the Eugene to Florence route and beyond north to service north and service south on Highway 101. And lovely pictures of our pretty bus along the pretty Highway 101. and then our second project here is the Eugene Florence connector. We're asking for operational funding. This route runs 7 days per week, two runs per day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. It does stop at Veneta and Mapleton between Eugene and Florence. Similar with the Florence to Yahats route, we're seeing a variety of riders use this for a variety of purposes, from visitors within the state and beyond, residents traveling between the valley and the coast, an increase in bicyclists and backpackers. And more so with this route than the Florence to Yahats route, we see people coming into the metro area for medical and social services. But with that, ridership is increasing again as we compare with past seasons. And we do have an interline agreement with Amtrak for this service as well. Fare is $5 between Eugene and Florence and $1 between Florence and Mapleton. And that dollar fare was at the behest of request from Workforce Oregon, who recognize that there's a lot of potential workers in the Mapleton, in that rural area, into Florence, where there are some jobs. And so we readjusted the fares accordingly. This funding ask does include increasing service to a third midday run, 4 days per week. And this is also a match for intercommunity or discretionary grant funding from the state. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Maybe I didn't hear it. What was the frequency of the run here?
Yeah, the Eugene to Florence connector runs 7 days per week. It has an AM run and a PM run. The AM run leaves, let me get my cheat sheet here. The AM run leaves the Eugene Amtrak station at 7:25 in the morning. And then the PM run leaves the Amtrak station in Eugene at 3:30 in the afternoon.
And did you say that there was going to be an operational increase in this one in terms of?
Yep, I did. So this has been a plan of ours since the beginning. We were not able to execute an expansion of service during the pandemic for obvious reasons, and also we've been limited on bus expansion. So during this biennium, we anticipate getting our buses in that we've ordered, hopefully. And the increased service includes a third midday run, 4 days per week. And the intent with that 4 days per week was because the Coos County, Coos Transit Coos County Area Transit, CCAT, runs a route between Coos Bay and Florence 4 days a week. So it was to interline with that route.
Oh, no, that's awesome. Very good. Thank you.
Other questions? How about questions on anything related to anything we've heard today, the whole package? Well, thank you Josh, go ahead.
I'm sorry I'm speaking so much. I do, given that the applications we're looking at now are significantly over the funds we expect to get from ODOT, what's the process for sort of reconciling that with the different projects and then coming back to the committee?
Sure, I mentioned some of this at the top.
Oh, we gotta turn this on, that's better. I mentioned some of this at the top of the meeting. We went into this meeting knowing between LCOG and LTD, we were over the expected budget. So what we're doing now is going through the process of looking at where we can trim, and we'll be coming back to this group and the board and others, SPC, with a balanced program moving forward.
So Tom, check my perception on this, but it's my recollection that this being the third time through this, we have some experience in reconciling the word that Josh used.
Yes.
These differences and sort of ironing them out as more information becomes available.
Exactly. And again, we didn't know what else would be on the table. And this what we tried to do, our approach this time was to reflect our full need.
Yeah.
And we'll be working to tailor that back to meet the budget.
Okay. Thank you, Josh, for that question. Other questions?
Yeah.
Alma, go ahead. Oh, Alma, and then we'll go back.
And again, I'm not sure how much, not going through this process before, but kind of looking at some of the integration of things. We have the student pass program, the idea about trying to get the youth engaged in being bus riders. And then we have this opportunity with technology, looking like at apps and everything. Again, I don't know about if this is getting too into the weeds of this, but just wondering about how those pieces intersect. And if that, again, I don't know how this fits together, but I'm just thinking like, how do these pieces intersect with each other? Maybe there's some opportunities there. And again, not trying to add more to the plate, but just thinking, are there ways to like measure twice and cut once with some of that? So I don't know if those things integrate with each other or not, but maybe there's places where that could kind of be modified a little bit. Again, I don't do this work, but I'm just throwing that out there as my brain kind of goes, how do we connect these pieces that there might be an opportunity there? So just putting that out there to consider.
Tom, John, any?
Well, I would say just think about your question. It's a good question. I think, so think about it this way. We arrived at what we're asking for in the student transit pass based on the expected number of rides and what that cost per service hour would be. So that's where that came from. The technology is a new addition. And so they're separate in that way. Obviously, we're hoping that technology is appealing to the younger riders and we'll make use of it in that way, but they're two separate budgets.
So thanks for pointing out that synergy. That makes good sense that those two things might go together some way and benefit each of them benefit each other. David.
Yes, thank you. Just going back to Tom Schwetz, what you were describing a minute ago about taking another look at the project submittals and sharpening the budget pencil, so to speak. And trying to get the number down. Do you see that as a collaborative effort between the LTD projects and the LCOG projects? And you guys are talking offline and then coming back together with kind of a lockstep, or is that separate between the two agencies?
Thanks, David. I would say it's working together as we have in the past two cycles to come back with a balanced budget. So that's our plan.
Well, my recollection is that that's exactly what has been done in the last two cycles.
Right.
Other questions? Thanks, David. Cosette.
Yes. I just want to point out that on page 6, we have the advisory committee criteria. So I think LCOG and LTD have done a good job of bringing forward projects that demonstrate the need and that stay true to the STIF funding. I also want to point out that what this demonstrates is that we could potentially do more. So if there were more STIF funding available, we actually could do more really good stuff. So so having the conversation to pare it down means that we may not do some of these projects, but that doesn't mean that these projects aren't worthy projects. So if there were more STIF funding made available, potentially we could do more. Thanks.
Okay, I'm about ready to wrap up this part of the meeting, unless there's other questions or comments. So thank you much, very much, presenters and everyone who asked questions for clarification. I think, Kate, do you want to remind us of our meeting dates?
Sure. So I think probably, Camille, this is probably just a, we can probably stop on this slide real quick, and then this can probably kind of be our ending slide. But we do have a meeting coming up in 2 weeks on the 15th. And then we are continued. We are planning on moving forward if needed with more meetings that will happen every 2 weeks leading up until the middle of December. If those aren't needed, then we will, if you all, you know, if the two providers come back and have a better budgets, and then the advisory committee could go ahead and recommend to move forward with these projects. And then we would probably not hold all of our meetings this year. Then we would ask you to come back, probably not until January, to have your January meetings to discuss the discretionary and intercommunity STIF funds that we briefly touched on at the last meeting. Those applications have not been turned into ODOT yet. So they will get turned into ODOT at the end of this month, November 30th. And then ODOT will turn around and bring them, the projects in this area, back to you all for you all to prioritize and weigh in on. Just as a reminder, that's future down the road. But for now, you can look for a packet again next week that will most likely have some slightly updated budget numbers. As I said, I'm still trying to finalize kind of how the rollover fits into the in district and out of district. So we'll definitely be updating that big picture, and then also asking the providers to come back with their updated project numbers now that all the projects have been submitted.
Is it likely that we would have more information about this process of integrating the between LTD and LCOG by then as well?
I think we're going to figure that pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the hope.
So we'll have more refined information, and hopefully we might be able to wrap this portion of it up November 15th.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Before I adjourn the meeting, I just want to ask one more time, did anybody join after the last time I took roll? Okay, so we've got an accurate roll count then. Anything else that anybody needs to say before we adjourn? Thank you, everyone, for active participation. Oh, okay. Kelly.
This is just a quick plug. I wanted to acknowledge Kate and Rachel's efforts on putting together a very well-done packet and PowerPoint. These applications are not easy to prepare. They're kind of in a complicated format, and they're even harder to distill once you've received it. So I just wanted to acknowledge your efforts and appreciate your work.
Yes, they do fine work. Okay, on that note, we'll adjourn and we'll. Oh, I'm sorry. Josh, go right ahead.
I just needed to talk one more time. I also wanted to give appreciation to staff, both for the packet and the presentation. They were incredibly thorough, and it was a pleasure reading through them. Thank you.
Okay, last chance. Okay, everybody, thank you. We're adjourned.
Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Done. Still got to go.